What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer. We are two writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've now been covering the Chargers for over five seasons, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly during the season. And now this is our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, we have a super fun show for you guys today. As always, thank you again for coming in and listening as always. But we have a lot to get into because the Chargers had another meeting with a potential prospect. This time, it's one that they've been linked to this entire offseason, seemingly. And then we're going to get into a couple of articles that we saw that were pretty interesting. First, we're going to be getting into the Los Angeles Chargers mock draft tracker 6.0, which the Chargers put together and put out on their team website, which just took the first round picks from 16 different analysts. So we're going to talk about that and the trends that we're seeing in that before wrapping up the show with our first post free agency power rankings from ESPN. I think the number the Chargers come in at is a little bit surprising, and we're definitely going to discuss it because I think both of us disagree with it strongly. But let's go ahead and get into it. On Monday, the Chargers had their second notable FaceTime meeting with a prospect in the 2020 NFL draft, and this time it is the one they've been most commonly linked to. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Ian Rappaport reported on Monday that with no pre-draft visits due to coronavirus, teams have turned to FaceTime meetings with prospects instead. For instance, Oregon quarterback Justin Herbert has a video call with the Raiders today, and he has spoken with the Chargers too. Everyone is adjusting to new realities. I will also say that the new rules in the NFL regarding these new FaceTime meetings are that each call slash FaceTime session are capped at 1 hour, no more than three in a week for one club with one player, and all meetings must be reported to the NFL's player personnel department. So this is the new way of doing these meetings during the COVID-19 outbreak, with no teams being able to meet up with these prospects in person. And this is the second report we've seen with the Chargers linked to a prospect. The first one was offensive tackle Tristan Wirfs from Iowa, who they FaceTimed with previously, and now it's Justin Herbert, which basically every NFL analyst at one point or another has linked to the Chargers because of their need at quarterback after the departure of Philip Rivers. So David, we have seen some meetings from the Chargers, but now finally we see the big one, them meeting with a potential first round quarterback over FaceTime.
Yeah, and I mean, it makes a lot of sense for the Chargers to be meeting with him, especially in this era that, you know, they got to make sure and cross their T's and dot all their I's and make sure they're comfortable with who's going to be available at six overall. And Justin Herbert is a massive kid, 6'6", 240 pounds, had a great year last year too, played in all 14 games, had a 66.8 completion percentage, threw for 3,471 yards, 32 touchdowns, and only six interceptions. He has not had more than eight interceptions in a year in his college career, so he's done a very good job of taking care of the football. He's a mobile quarterback, does very well with quick throws, can make every throw, has a huge arm, would be the type of quarterback that would be able to fit in Anthony Lynn's system, where he wants a mobile quarterback to be able to throw on the run. Justin Herbert has been able to do that throughout his college career. A couple of things that give me a little bit of pause are the fact that he doesn't go through all of his progressions, and he looks to run a little bit too quickly. If he's able to get coached up and he's able to get those things under control, then he could definitely be a good, safe pick at sixth overall for the Chargers.
Yeah, and I think that's something the Chargers are looking for there. They are a pretty risk-averse team, so I think it makes a lot of sense for them to go with Justin Herbert, given the red flags around some of the other players they could potentially target at six. And the other thing about Justin Herbert is he might have the highest ceiling of this draft class. When you see the rocket arm and the mobility, and he was pretty healthy for the most part in college besides breaking his collarbone, I think he checks all of those boxes, and he's the type of player any coaching staff could look at and say, I can mold that into being the future for our franchise. But this could also be a smokescreen as well, because most teams know the Chargers might be looking for a quarterback with that sixth pick. So the Chargers know that this is going to get put out there, that Justin Herbert has met with them, maybe leading some teams to think the Chargers are okay with staying at six, taking Justin Herbert, instead of doing something we don't expect Tom Telesco to do, which would be trying to move up to potentially go after Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, you don't know. This might be mind games. Tom Telesco might be trying to lull the Dolphins into a false sense of security so they feel like they know who the Chargers are interested in and who they're going to pick. But the Chargers traditionally hold their cards very close to the vest. They really don't let anybody know what they're trying to do, especially around draft time. Nobody ever has a good grasp on what the Chargers are going to do. We don't know who the Bolts want. We don't know who they covet, but we will find out on draft night, April 23rd.
We will, and I think the Chargers have surprised many fans in the past with who they've ended up going with. There have been many players that have been linked to the Chargers that end up really not even being that high on the Chargers draft board when things are all said and done and they go a different direction. So I think with Herbert, he does seem more and more like the most likely pick for the Chargers at six, considering they might be able to stay put and get him at six without having to give up future draft assets. And if the Chargers were interested, they would want to FaceTime with him and have that meeting because they don't really get many more opportunities right now to do so. So it would make sense if they're interested to take him. It would also make sense if they're trying to set up another team. But it seems like the one consensus thing that is coming from many at this point is that the Chargers are looking to draft a quarterback with the sixth overall pick. But we do have two more segments to get into. We need to get into the Chargers mock draft tracker, looking at all of the different analysts and who they pick for the Chargers in the first round before wrapping up the show with ESPN's power rankings post-free agency and where the Chargers stack up against the rest of the NFL. So we're going to get into that. But first, I need to tell you guys about our new sponsors over at Echelon. To get fit in 2020, you don't have to join a gym or pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. Obviously, no one can go to the gym right now anyway, so we have the best way for you to get in the best shape of your life, even while you're stuck indoors, and that is with Echelon. Go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high-quality at-home cycling experience at less than half the price of a Peloton. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everyone, busy moms, dads, first responders, and elite athletes. Whatever your activity level, Echelon is for you. Join the hundreds of thousands of men and women who are getting fit with Echelon and don't pay a ton for a Peloton. Buy an Echelon bike today for under $1,000. All you have to do is go to echelonfit.com/LONFL to learn about their limited time free Apple iPad and complete the details of this exclusive offer. Echelon, it's your time. That's echelonfit.com/LONFL, all caps, one word, at echelonfit.com. All right, guys, well, it's time to get into the next segment. And on today's show, we're talking about the Chargers coming out with a list on their team website of the mock draft tracker 6.0. And that's them taking account of what all of the NFL's draft experts around the league think the Chargers are going to do with their sixth overall pick. And I think we really saw some trends develop on this list, David. I know the last time we talked about this, most of the consensus was Justin Herbert, but it wasn't a landslide. You had a lot of different people picking different options for the Chargers at six. But in this one, 9 out of 16 of the experts picked the Chargers to take Justin Herbert. There's only 16 of them, David. So I know in the last segment we talked about why it would make sense for the Chargers to take Herbert and what our drawbacks are from that and why we hesitate to just go ahead and say, yes, go ahead and do that. But it seems like around the league, around experts, the consensus is Justin Herbert, and it's really not that close.
It's really not. I mean, it's crazy to see how many people decided to go with Justin Herbert for the Chargers, and it kind of made me have to go back and look at some tape and kind of see what I was missing. I watched a couple of games of him. He makes some great throws. He makes some kind of throws that make you scratch your head a little bit. Seems like he's a smart quarterback. He's a tough quarterback. I've seen him stay in there and, you know, take a hit to make a good throw. It's just kind of Jekyll and Hyde. It's not as consistent as I would want it to be, but he has a lot of physical gifts that would make me believe that he could be a starting quarterback in the NFL and he could flourish in the Chargers system. But there's just a couple of other things that I mentioned before that I think I'd like to see him clean up before I'd like to see him take over the reins and be a starting quarterback.
Yeah, and obviously whoever comes in for the Chargers this year might not be the starter right away, probably won't be the starter right away with Tyrod Taylor already at the reins as it is. But the second place vote getter in this particular article is Tua Tagovailoa. He got 4 picks out of this. So yes, if you're doing math at home, 13 out of the 16 experts in the mock draft tracker all have the Chargers addressing quarterback, and all of them go offense. There's not a single defensive player on this list. But David, I thought one thing that was interesting that probably isn't realistic is out of the four people that actually chose Tua, only one of them needed a trade to do it. So we haven't looked at all of these different websites in particular to see if those are involving trades, but three of them have the Chargers getting Tua Tagovailoa at six, but that's probably a little bit unrealistic.
I think it's super unrealistic, especially with all the mock draft simulators that I've done. I'd say 98% of them have Tua Tagovailoa going to the Dolphins or before the Chargers pick. It's very seldom that he's actually there when the Chargers pick at six. So I think we all know that if the Chargers are going to get Tua Tagovailoa, it's more than likely going to have to require a trade up.
And it's probably more than likely going to mean that the Dolphins are not going to trade up as well, because if they have their mind set on it, they can basically do whatever they want in this draft. I mean, having three first round picks and just a litany of other picks that they can send to whatever team, whether it's Washington or Detroit, I mean, or even the Giants to some extent. So I think all of those would make sense, but it doesn't really make sense for Tua to get to the Chargers. I think the best case scenario is just that the Dolphins are absolutely infatuated with Justin Herbert and they are good with taking him there at five, or they just decide they have to secure him no matter what, and that leaves Tua left over for the Chargers. But the offensive lineman I thought was kind of funny just because it is a very distinct split between three different offensive linemen, each one of them getting one vote. It's Jedrick Wills, Mekhi Becton, and Andrew Thomas from Georgia. All of those guys get one vote. And I think, David, that's just one of those things where every single person on this list picked a quarterback or offensive lineman. And when you're talking about offensive linemen, I think that there's really four, you know, top end offensive tackles that you can get in this draft, and all four of them will probably go, you know, in the top 20 of this draft. And no matter who you pick, you are going to be getting a good one. And I think it's just kind of a difference of opinion on who you like at that spot, because the Chargers, I think in most of these, Tristan Wirfs is going ahead of them. So they basically would have their pick either Becton or Wills or even Andrew Thomas.
Yeah, well, I just think all the experts know that obviously since the Chargers decided to trade their left tackle away, that there's a gaping hole there. And, you know, there's only a couple of guys that really profile as a left tackle that will be available at six. It's obviously a need. There's a lot of parity on who they think is going to be, but they know it's a need, and they know the Chargers are going to either address it there or address it very, very soon, maybe the second round.
Yeah, and I think for offensive line, obviously my pick lately has been Mekhi Becton. I like Jedrick Wills a lot. Those are my two offensive linemen. If the Brian Bulaga thing doesn't happen, I'm going Wills. But either way, I mean, I'm good with either of those guys at that pick. But it still was a little bit surprising with, you know, some players like Isaiah Simmons or Jeffrey Okuda landing with the Chargers at six, or at least being available to them at six. And none of these experts were willing to, you know, take a chance on a defensive player. It's 100% offense. And the two biggest holes right now on this team, at least for the future, depending on what you think about Trey Pipkins, are left tackle and quarterback. So as far as that goes, it makes sense. But for all you Jordan Love lovers out there, and you're wondering, you know, how none of these people pick Jordan Love. So after this list came out from the Chargers, Todd McShay came out with a list of his own where for his pick in this first round, he picked Jordan Love. So, David, there are still some people that think the Chargers could shock the world. In this case, they take Jordan Love over Justin Herbert, which is something you're not seeing many places.
No, it just reminds me of that movie Draft Day where he writes on a little note and says, you know, you were the pick the whole time. I think that would have to be the situation if they were to take Jordan Love at six overall. I just think even Todd McShay acknowledged that it's a reach, a little bit of a reach at six. I obviously agree with that. You know, if you've heard me talk on previous shows, I just think that's a little too rich for Jordan Love. The 17 interceptions cannot be ignored. I don't care if you're going to explain them away. It doesn't matter. I mean, those are decisions that were still made. And, you know, he was at fault for at least a handful of them, no matter how you look at it. So the Chargers and head coach Anthony Lynn has made it abundantly clear that interceptions and turnovers are a thing that he doesn't want to see and won't tolerate going forward. You're bringing in a quarterback that's coming off of a pretty bad turnover season doesn't exactly mesh with the message the head coach is putting out.
Well, and that's why I think Justin Herbert is the safe pick out of these three, because he doesn't have the interception of Jordan Love. He doesn't have the serious injury concerns of Tua, which is why I think it makes a lot of sense. But for Jordan Love, I think he's hurt by the fact that, hey, if he has the big year in 2019 instead of 2018, you'd feel a lot better about it. But it seems like teams adjusted to what he did, and it kind of threw him off some, made him a lesser quarterback in 2019. And you can say all you want that those are coachable interceptions and he can cut down on it. Yeah, I mean, a lot of that is, but that, coaches try to coach players all the time. You think Bruce Arians wasn't trying to coach Jameis Winston not to throw 30 interceptions last year? I mean, it's just not that easy. So I think people are definitely explaining away the interceptions, and I think more people now have been with the Chargers trading back into the first in mocks and trying to get Jordan Love late in the first if they go elsewhere early on. But one of the other things I just wanted to do shout out is just something we talked about yesterday as far as edge rushers, because Todd McShay also has the Chargers in the second round drafting Zach Bond, who had 12.5 sacks last year out of Wisconsin. The Chargers addressing a pass rusher in the second round, which is something that you did yesterday in the fourth round. But it does, you know, he is spotlighting that need for the Chargers at edge rusher with the guys they have being free agents next season. And this time, I mean, he's even willing to put a second round pick on it.
Which I understand. I mean, if you look at Melvin Ingram, I love Melvin Ingram, first of all. Let me put that out there right now. I love the way he comes to work. I love his attitude. I love his leadership. You know, he leads by example. He goes out there and does all the dirty work. He does get some sacks, but I think he doesn't get as much credit for the things that are not as flashy as the sacks and the big plays. I think he put in a lot of that work. The simple fact is he's 31 years old. You know, he's going to be 31 here in April. So, and he's in the last year of his deal. You know, he's made a lot of money. I just don't see the Chargers being able to bring Joey and Melvin back on deals that are going to compensate them in the ways that they want to be compensated. So that means, you know, obviously keeping the younger player if you can, and saying goodbye to one of the Charger players that has been a pillar of your defense for many years. But also that means you have to have a backup plan. You got to have a contingency. We don't know if that's a Chinna Nwosu. We've only seen him in spurts. So seeing Todd McShay address a pass rusher in the second round doesn't make, or is not as crazy as it would seem on the surface.
It's not. And I think with Uchenna and Wosu, yes, we have seen some flashes, but I also would say that you haven't seen enough to make you feel good about both of those guys potentially leaving. And out of the two of them, with Melvin Ingram being 30 years old, obviously Joey Bosa is the prime candidate to get extended. Those third contracts for NFL players are when it gets a little bit tricky, and you usually have to overpay for those guys for only a couple of seasons. Obviously, what he does off the field and how much of a leader he is notwithstanding, these are things the Chargers have to think about. So I think that's why you see that there. But we do have one more segment to get into, because we're going to be looking at the power rankings post-free agency, the first ones that have come out on ESPN. And of course, we'll overreact to them coming up right after this. All right, guys, well, if you've been a football fan as long as I've been a football fan, and David as well, one of those things that you either love him or you hate him, and either way, you usually read them, and I'm talking about power rankings. So obviously, at this point of the season, not many power rankings are coming out because there's still so much that is left to be decided. We haven't even had the draft yet, so obviously that is going to play a big role in how these teams do in 2020. But the one thing we have seen is that ESPN has come out with their power rankings. They've done one before this, which were the way too early power rankings. Now these are the post free agency power rankings. And David, they end up coming in at number 24. So just off the bat, before I give any of my opinions on it, do you think the Chargers are too low in this power ranking?
I mean, yes, I think it's incredible, incredulous. I just don't get it. I don't understand. The Chargers cut bait, get rid of players that are old, getting paid too much money and not being effective, bring in established veterans that have had a lot of success in the NFL. You bring in an add to your offensive line. You add a legitimate defensive lineman. You add a fantastic cornerback, a young controllable guard, and you're telling me they didn't get any better throughout free agency? I just think that's absolutely insane for someone to be able to say that. The Chargers got a lot better, and I don't really think it's that much of a discussion.
Yeah, and I think that was, you know, one of the things that stood out to me is just the fact that before free agency, the Chargers ranked 24th. Then they go out and they sign Bulaga and Linval Joseph and Chris Harris and Nick Vigil and, you know, and a couple other smaller signings as well. But then you're going to say that, you know, they're still the same. I mean, at that point, we basically knew Phillip Rivers was gone. So it's hard to say that. I mean, they're just solely basing this off of Tyrod Taylor, but that's what it seems like. And I think, obviously, one of the things you're going to do is compare the Chargers to the other teams that are above them. So I've come up with a list of teams that are ahead of the Chargers that I think you could make an argument the Chargers should definitely be ahead of. So this is my list of teams that come up before the Chargers in these latest power rankings. The first is the Falcons, followed by the Bears, the Raiders, the Cardinals, Rams, Browns, and Broncos. So, David, whether the Chargers are better than these teams, I think a lot of them would be close conversations, and I think there's arguments to be made on some sides. But out of these teams, I mean, there's a few of them here that I look at that and I just say, how is that roster, how is that team better than the one the Chargers have right now, even before the draft?
Yeah, I mean, the first one that jumps out at me is the Bears. I mean, Mitchell Trubisky withstanding, what moves did they make? How did they get better? Who did they bring in that made
Jimmy
them
Graham?
Substantially better? The old giant, Jolly Green Giant? Come on, man. No, that's not enough of a move to move the needle.
Nick Foles?
Yeah, Nick Foles, who might be taking Mitchell Trubisky's spot, which obviously should have happened years ago, but you can't convince me that they actually got that much better than the Chargers. I think the Chargers were better than them before free agency, and then they brought in key players that are going to help them immediately and in the near future. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and I think for that one specifically, I mean, you can't really hold Tyrod Taylor out as an argument if you're talking about the other guys are Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles, because, I mean, let's not forget what Nick Foles looked like in Jacksonville. Obviously, that's a bad situation, and you would say the same thing about Tyrod Taylor's last season as a starter with the Cleveland Browns while they were grooming Baker Mayfield. So I think there's obviously arguments to be made here, but as far as quarterbacks go, I mean, Jared Goff or Tyrod Taylor, that's an argument. Jared Goff or Mitch Trubisky, give me Tyrod Taylor right now. I mean, just because of the inconsistency over there. I mean, the Broncos, Drew Lock, that's super early. The Browns have Baker Mayfield, who's coming off, I mean, a year that was statistically close to Phillip Rivers, who the Chargers just pushed out the door. Obviously, you know, he's a young player, and they hope he's going to develop. But even the Cardinals, I know they got DeAndre Hopkins, but I still think there's some big question marks on that team trying to make the next step as well, and big questions about Kyler Murray as a franchise quarterback. So I think, obviously, David, you're going to, like, judge your team versus what the rest of these teams are, but I can't help but feeling if the Chargers would have went out and signed Cam Newton as their quarterback right now, that they would come in higher at this power ranking. You talked about it the other day, how the difference between these two players, obviously the perception is vastly different. The production, on the other hand, hasn't been that different. I mean, it's been more similar than you would think. I mean, between the caliber of those two players and what people think of those two players. But David, I think if Cam Newton was the quarterback of this team, even though he hasn't been statistically better and has many bigger issues as far as health goes, the Chargers would be, I mean, if not just a few spots higher, but I think even maybe much higher if they had Cam Newton right now.
I tend to agree, but I think it's because all the experts out there highly covet the starting quarterback position, which obviously I understand. It's the most important position on the football field, but the Chargers have an incredible defense, and I think that's what's being discounted here. Even with the moves they made now, nobody's even talking about that. Yeah, did they underperform a little bit last year? Yes, but again, like you mentioned, the drop-off or the difference between Cam Newton and Tyrod Taylor really is not that much. They're both seen as running quarterbacks. Tyrod Taylor averages 5.5 yards a rush. Cam Newton, 5.3 yards a rush. Yes, he is actually a little bit more efficient. Is there a smaller sample size? Obviously, I know that. Cam Newton's been starting since he came into the league. Tyrod Taylor's had a little bit of a different path. But you're going to tell me that those two quarterbacks are that much different? Obviously, one's a former NFL MVP, and the other one had a couple of decent years in Buffalo. I get it, but I don't know if the gap is that much different to make the power ranking sway as much as we know that it would. Now, obviously, I know Cam is super polarizing. That's the type of person he is. But as far as the difference in player, it's not as much as you would think.
And I will say this, I mean, obviously prime Cam Newton, it, you know, it's not even a conversation. You know, if you're getting a fully healthy Cam Newton, that's obviously going to give you a better chance at a Super Bowl than Tyrod Taylor would. But at the same time, how much are you going to drop the Chargers for that? And how confident could the Chargers be that they're actually getting that version of Cam Newton? Because that's the biggest thing is, obviously, yes, a fully perfect Cam Newton is probably a lot better than Tyrod Taylor, even though the stats would say even in his healthy seasons it looked closer to Tyrod Taylor than you would think. But obviously he has the much higher ceiling. He's the guy that can get to a higher peak than Tyrod Taylor is capable of. But at the same time, especially in COVID-19 times when you can't even really have your team doctors go and check somebody out for a physical, I just don't know how you could think that that would be the better move for this team at this point, considering especially at this point trying to draft the quarterback of their future in this upcoming draft. And all, you know, that is technically all still in play. But I think if Cam Newton was the Chargers quarterback, the Chargers would be higher on this list, even if they didn't have some of the other guys they brought in. I think if Philip Rivers was the Chargers quarterback, even if they didn't add some of those guys, maybe it's just Brian Bulaga, they don't get Strap Harris or Linval Joseph, the Chargers come higher on this list. Not only is it really tilting the favor of offenses, but which one of those teams that I mentioned before has a better defense than the Chargers? Is defense not getting the recognition that it deserves here? I mean, I think the Bears are an argument, but I think every team after that, thinking that their defenses are more talented than the Chargers' defense is almost laughable. I mean, the Broncos, I think, could be a good defense, and I like some of the things, but they have major holes as well. And then you look at the Raiders, one of the worst teams. The Falcons were a mess on defense last year. There's just none of those teams, David, really have a notably better defense than the Chargers. So I think out of everything we've talked about, it seems like this list, not only is it, you know, heavily staggered by quarterbacks, but just offense in general.
Right, and that's exactly what I was trying to say, too. It seems like people are just forgetting about all the talent the Chargers have on the defensive side. They got Derwin James, one of the best young safeties in the league. Joey Bosa, one of the best young pass rushers in the league. Melvin Ingram, a stable veteran, has had a lot of sacks in his career. Casey Hayward, one of the most underappreciated corners in the league. Chris Harris, who they just added. The names go on and on and on. This Chargers defense, especially with the nose tackle this year, is going to open some eyes, and I guarantee you they are at 24 right now. They will not be at 24 after the season.
Yeah, I don't think they will. I mean, I think they are a playoff competent team. I think they are going to be a threat to make a playoff run this season, even with Tyrod Taylor as their quarterback. So, I mean, at the worst, you're putting them somewhere around the top 15. So, obviously, this is an overreaction. These are power rankings before the draft, and we're taking all of that in a grain of salt. But, hey, guys, it's coronavirus times. You know, we have to find something to talk about, and nothing really gets me fired up than the Chargers being placed way too low on a power ranking. So I'm glad that we got to have this discussion. I thought it was a really fun discussion, and we'll have, you know, 50 other power rankings between now and the end of the season that we can talk about as well. But first things first, Chargers can't start at 24 before free agency and then move zero spots after a really good free agency period. That's just at the end of the day is what we have the biggest issue with. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Thank you for everyone for coming in and listening. We really appreciate it. We're rounding out a really strong month right now, and we couldn't do it without you guys, obviously. So thanks again. Until next time, guys, until tomorrow, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the show on Facebook, Locked On Chargers as well. And it's subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. We still have a bunch of voicemails to get to, but if you don't know the number, it's 323-524-7924. We are happy to take any Chargers voicemail, and they all get played on the show. But like I said, we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.